Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey now joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday afternoon here in the McAdoo Studios. Follow them on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL and at WillStewartTSL. Of course, check out their fine work at TechSideline.com. Gentlemen, good Friday to you. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Great. It's almost March.
Yeah. Yeah. Snow's melting. That's encouraging.
Can't be any worse in February.
Yeah, man.
So last Friday it was 50 degrees.
I see grass outside.
Here, but,
I see grass.
That's right.
Last Friday it was 50 degrees in here.
With
today,
two space heaters
like
running.
60.
With
yep.
two space heaters running, it was 50 degrees in here. I think it's an OSHA violation. But nobody listens to me around here. Hey, let's go back a couple days. Let's start Virginia Tech Duke. The Hokies nearly did something that no one in the country thought was possible. And I said yesterday, I said, you know, if I thought if Jaleel Okafor didn't play, they could hang with Duke because even though Justice Winslow and Quinn Cook and Tyus Jones and those guys are really talented, that Okafor is just a monster that cannot be stopped and barely contained by the best in the country. So I thought, you know, if he doesn't play, you know, Tech can hang around. They get hot, you know, they play well offensively, they can hang around. But, you know, if you'd have told me that Jaleel Okafor was going to score a career-high 30 points on Wednesday night, I would have predicted a 25-point blowout. But,
yeah.
Boy, what a game. I mean, that was the most fun I've had in Castle this year.
Yeah, I would say so. Duke got up 15-4.
Yeah.
They were pressing Virginia Tech when Virginia Tech had not responded against full court defense all year against heavy ball pressure. So you're like, oh goodness, this is going to be a long night. And then just like that, all of a sudden Tech just started beating the press. Started getting their spacing was really good. Getting drives to the basket. Obviously, they made their shots. It was a very entertaining basketball game. It was actually like an NBA game.
Oh yeah.
As far as how the game was played, the amount of points that were scored and things like that, just very entertaining basketball.
Great offensive basketball.
Yeah.
On both sides. I was talking about this again yesterday that I said this wasn't just a case where Virginia Tech got scorching hot from the perimeter and were hitting shots they weren't supposed to be hitting. They shot the ball really well, obviously, in the first half especially, but they were creating off the dribble. You know, Devin Wilson, I still can't figure this out. You know, how, you know, after Devin Wilson racked up assist number, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that at some point they said, hey, maybe play off him a little bit because he can't shoot, you know, but that never happened. They continued to, you know, with the ball pressure, and Devin Wilson continually made them pay. Dribble drives, kicks to the perimeter. I mean, it finished strong a couple of times. Devin Wilson played his best game of the year, I thought. Now, Buzz said it was against NC State, but I thought, just from what I'd seen, I thought Devin played his best game of the year.
I thought a critical point in the game was when Tech got up by about 8 early in the second half. They came out and just picked up right where they left off.
Back-to-back threes to start the half.
Duke switched to a zone shortly after that and then suddenly evened it up. And I thought that was critical. And then they went away from the zone, went back to the man-to-man, and Tech started doing their thing again. And, you know, watching Virginia Tech this season – anybody that's watched Tech basketball for the last 15 or 20 years is extremely happy with the offensive sets, the ball movement, the coaching out of timeouts. Buzz routinely draws up plays during timeouts that, you know, like the Jalen Hudson shot that would have won it in regulation.
Yep. Justin Bibbs off, you know, curling
to
off
tie
the screen.
The game. Yeah, absolutely. All out of timeouts.
Beautiful play.
No, you know, and Buzz is he's the best coach I've ever seen at Virginia Tech in terms of those kinds of things. And yeah, if the guy ever gets a real roster in here the way he likes it, man, they're going to be pretty darn good.
I think so. Let's not waste time. Jalen Hudson, 23 points, career high, went on about a 3-minute tear where he ripped off 11 points and scoring in a variety of ways. Buzz said after the game, he said he's the most talented player on our roster.
And he said that before.
And he said it before, but it didn't register with me. And I said, you know, I'd heard him say it, but I didn't see it, and I see it now because, you know, Justin Bibbs has been the best player on this team this year, but Jalen Hudson is the most talented player on this team, and I'm not sure I would have admitted that this time last week. We'd seen glimpses. We'd seen spurts, but he is the most talented player on this team, which is incredible for him to see him take over the game against Duke. Duke had no answer for him on Wednesday night, so you're excited about what he did, but then after the game, just to hear Buzz say, yes, he's the most talented player on our roster, but he doesn't work hard consistently.
He's just teasing your emotions when he has games like that against Duke.
Right?
And then what's he going to do, score 4 points against Boston College? I don't know. We'll see. When Buzz started saying that back at the beginning of the season, I was like, what is this guy talking about? He must just be trying to motivate Jalen Hudson, and I think that's part of it. But then Hudson, you know, he had a few good games, And, you know, he had scored 18 against Syracuse, and you're like, oh, okay, I can now – I see what Buzz is talking about now.
Right.
And then that game the other night just reinforces it. He's more athletic than the other freshmen. He is better with the ball in his hands than the other freshmen. He can really create, beat guys off the dribble, the things like that. Whereas I think a guy like Justin Bibbs is more dependent on running – on getting his shots through how the offense is run, rather than creating it. So I think Duke was a great matchup for Jalen Hudson from the perspective of everybody's going to get up and play hard against Duke, right? So that's not going to be a problem. But yeah, also the way they extend their defense, they invite dribble penetration. And that's how Virginia Tech had so much success against them in the past when they had guards.
Under Seth Greenberg, yeah.
Under Seth, when they had Jamon and Zabie, and they had multiple guards who could put the ball on the floor and beat guys off the dribble. And, and that's how you're able to beat Duke. And Jalen Hudson is that type of guard.
He was so much fun to watch on Wednesday. I was just – it was the little things that I was watching. You know, there were a couple times in transition, a couple times in the half court where, you know, he either attacked the rim with the ball in his hands or attacked the rim for a putback or something, and either he missed the layup or you know, he got the putback. But just the bounce, man, to be able to go up, maybe miss a layup or whatever it was, and then just like a pogo stick to hit and to go back up and challenge rim level with Okafor.
Yeah.
You know, that to me really opened my eyes sitting court level watching him do that right in front of me. And I said, damn.
Remember when he blocked Okafor's shot?
Yes.
Anybody blocked Okafor's shot all year?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's actually a good question.
He came over from weak side help,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he got up. I mean, up.
And, you know, in the last shot of regulation when Winslow fouled him, you noticed that Hudson was in position on the other side of the basket to get the rebound, and somebody came over his back from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said in the post game he got fouled multiple times on that play.
On the final possession of regulation?
Not just Winslow getting him on the arm, but the guy went over his back when he was battling for the rebounds.
Yeah. And on it, you could have called the foul on the floor as soon as he made that first step. You know, and again, I get it. You know, final 5 seconds, fourth-ranked team in the country. You know, most officials are going to swallow the whistle in that situation. You almost expect that. But it really is difficult to see if you're a Tech fan to see that still frame. That I think it was your boy Ivan got it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a classic forearm to forearm, just, you know,
it's old a classic
school
foul.
Yeah, that's a hack. I mean, that is the true definition of a hack.
That was an absolute hack. And I don't have an issue when maybe they swallow their whistles at the end of the games if there's a lot of body contact, if they don't call body contact. But if it's actually something that affects the shot that's what bothers me.
Yeah.
Because there was no body contact, rather. He just reached across and, bam, just nailed his arm.
So if you want to see that photo, probably the best place to find it, easiest place to find it, is OxVT. And his Twitter handle is at OX_VT.
Yeah.
One of his most recent photo tweets is that picture that was taken by Ivan Morozov, who's our
– Is it Ivan?
Ivan.
Oh, I call him Ivan.
Well, I talked to him about that. Everybody calls him Ivan. I call him Ivan. He goes, oh, that's the French pronunciation.
Russian hokey, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And you know what? If you go to Tech sporting events, you know him. You've seen him.
You've seen him.
You just don't know you know him.
He's actually in the video, the shout video that they play during timeouts.
Yeah.
That's him dancing with the hokey bird about halfway through that.
Are you kidding? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. He's entered that video recently.
He's a staple of Virginia Tech athletics. How long has he been around, by the way?
Early 90s. If you want to kind of go on a little bit of a tangent, you know, I started doing.
I'm sure there's a cool story there.
Well, he came over in 92 and went to work in an orchard owned by the Saunders family. I can't remember exactly where they are. It's somewhere in Virginia. Couldn't speak a word of English, you know, and the Saunders family took him in and took really good care of him. He calls Paul Saunders his second father. But I met Yvonne I wrote an article way back in 1996 when I was first starting the website. I wrote an article called The Top 10 Plays in Virginia Tech History. And I got this email. It was somewhat broken English at the time. it was Russian hokey, and the emotion just came out of the email, you know. And that's when we met. So it's been almost 20 years, and he is a hokey through and through.
And I'm not sure I was even clear about what he does. He's your photographer.
He's a photographer, but he has a PhD in pathology and plants.
Yeah, he's having a lot of fun, you know, outside of, you know, making a lot of money being a PhD.
Yeah, very few people make a living doing sports photography.
I know, right?
So that's his hobby.
It's become more a hobby for everyone these days.
Yeah, I know.
Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com, joining us here in the McAdoo studios. Yeah, I just, you know, you had the foul, and in the overtime period, you could just see it. Satchel fouls out. You know they don't have an answer down low. It's if Okafor wanted to finish it off himself, he could have. And he hit a couple late free throws, but it was that corner three and those 7 points in the overtime period from Quinn Cook that really was the dagger. And he hit that three right in front of me. I mean, mm-hmm. five feet in front of me. And the second that he caught that pass and was no defender within 15 feet of him, you knew it was it. Yeah. You knew it was in, and you knew it was over. Because Tech just didn't have enough offense left in 55 seconds to beat that team. Because as admirable an effort as it was, it was still a Duke team with probably three NBA players on the court.
And Virginia Tech's window was the final play of regulation. If they were going to win it, that was when they were going to win it.
Yeah, and again, it's cliche, it's obnoxious, it's trite to say, you know, well, that we got robbed, or if you're a Tech fan, we got robbed because he didn't get the foul. He got fouled. But it happens all the time. It's part and parcel of the game.
Well, and there were a couple of plays, I think it was late in regulation, that were down on the Duke end of the floor where I was surprised they didn't call a foul on Virginia Tech. So, you know, it works both ways. Everybody's talking about the calls that Duke gets, but, you know, they swallowed their whistles a little bit on the other end as well, late in regulation.
They did. Shane Henry didn't play. I was surprised he didn't play. Did he play at all? I don't think he did.
Not 1 minute. Yeah. I think that was a matchup issue.
Yeah.
He's the least strong out of all of Virginia Tech's post players. And Virginia Tech, they were going to play one post player and four guards, basically. And if he had been that post player, Beyer.
Okafor would have had 40, right?
Oh, he would have had 40. yeah, at least. And so I just think that was a bad matchup for Shane. And the fact that he doesn't bring anything offensively. So he's physically, he's the weakest Tech defender, and he didn't bring much offensively. So it just wasn't a good matchup. They wanted five guys on the court who could score with their two strongest post defenders, and that was the matchup plan for that. I expect he'll play tomorrow. I expect he'll play in every game the rest of the season unless they play Duke again in the ACC tournament. Okafor, though, man, that's the first time I've gone to a basketball game, and I'm just like, my God, can we please get a rule change? That guy should not be playing in college.
I went in the visiting locker room after the game to get a soundbite from him. I was doing some reporting for the Associated Press, and so I went in there to get a couple clips from him, and he is enormous. I mean, he's such a
massive, enormous man.
I don't know how people are that size in high school, because he was that size in high school. Yeah. It blows my mind. But he was, and he is, and I mean, good.
There's no reason. He's bored right now. He is bored. I'm sure he's having a good time playing and everything like that.
He's not good defensively.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. But you're only going to be good defensively when you have to start trying.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't think he's trying right now.
He's not. He almost broke Satchel Pierce's sternum a couple times. I'll talk about that when we come back. There's some more to get to about the Wednesday night game. We also got to talk some football, some recruiting news to get to, and other things. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com here in the McAdoo studios for Hour 2. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.